This podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy. The Academy holds a number of courses specifically designed to help marketers and marketing professionals skill up and demonstrate their worth to either their clients or their employers. You can find out more at marketingdevelopment.academy.
I save like dead set 20 hours per week, probably.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am speaking to the delightful Aussie, Jimmy Rose, and we're going to find you some extra time to work on your business. We're going to talk about different processes that you can automate and the tools that you need in order to find that extra time and free up some of your diary. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and you are joining a conversation between myself and Mr. James stroke Jimmy Rose. How you doing, mate?
Nailed it. Thank you, Pete. I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun, I can tell.
No problem. James or Jimmy, which do you prefer, James or Jimmy?
I just like to really confuse everyone, and that's kind of becoming my calling card nearly. I'm James when I'm talking about my business content snare, and I'm Jimmy when I'm talking about automation. So, you know, just like to mix it up.
We'll match the two. We'll call you Jammy for the rest of the
week. Oh, gosh. Jimmy James, like, I can handle. I don't know about Jammy.
So, Jimmy, we are going to go down in automation, so I'll try and call you Jimmy for the whole thing.
Sounds good.
Jimmy is joining us from deep down under in Australia, and you've already mentioned a couple of things that you do. So do you want to just sort of give us a quick intro as to who you are and what you do?
Sure. Well, I guess I've been in the online marketing game since about 2010, which makes me feel pretty old now. But we started in software and then eventually ended up building a digital agency that built like pretty much websites. We did the whole do everything under the sun for a while, like marketing and Facebook ads and Google ads, and then stripped it all back to just basically WordPress development. And in that process, we had a lot of issues with collecting content from clients. It was a process that was, it was just a pain in the ass, to be honest. I don't know what your swearing policy is. I'll try not to get any worse than that. But it sucked. Getting content from clients sucked, and we wanted to fix that. So we built a software product called Content Snare that helps agencies with that content collection and collaboration process. And in that process of building the software, I've automated a ton of different things, and that's in the agency as well. I've always been a little bit obsessed with automation. So that's kind of been my side gig now. I say side gig like it makes money, but it doesn't, because all I'm really doing is putting out videos and content about automation because I love it. And it's a bit of a passion project for me because I hang out with a lot of business owners and they're doing all these like mundane things and it makes me sad to see, you know, like if I'm able to go and hang out and do cool stuff and they're sitting there on their laptops doing crap they shouldn't be doing, I'd rather they come and hang out with me. And that's kind of what got me into teaching it.
Cool. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. And now just to clarify, what we're talking about here isn't marketing automation. We had an episode a few episodes ago about marketing automation. This is about automating processes in your business.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean it all kind of ties into each other. There's bits of process automation that are actually marketing, really. Mm. They help marketing. I mean, but yeah, it's processes and it's marketing things and just doing stuff that is mundane and that you shouldn't have to do.
So essentially, automate your processes so you can drink more beer. That's kind of where we're going.
Well, I wasn't going to say it, but yes.
No. So making your life easier by automating some of the mundane stuff that you have to do, and it just happens in the background, so you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Absolutely.
So what? I mean, I know Zapier or Zapier. I don't quite know how you say it. People say it both ways. That's kind of changed the way that this kind of process works, hasn't it? Because of the amount of stuff that it can integrate with. Mm. So, I take it you kind of spend most of your life in Zapier or Zapier.
Yes, I heard for the first time the other day someone called it Zapier.
Or... Zapier.
Yeah, I was like, nah, I think we're stretching a little bit far here. It is Zapier is the correct way to say it, according to the founder / CEO or whatever, because they're Zaps. You're creating Zaps. Zapier. Yeah. Anyway, I think...
sorry, mate, just to interject on that. There's a town in Nottinghamshire. So I live in Sheffield in England, and Nottinghamshire is like just a county or so away. And there's a town there called... it's spelt Belvoir, B-E-L-V-O-I-R, which sounds quite upmarket, but all the locals call it Beaver. And I've never understood why. You know, what you could live in somewhere that sounds so posh, like it's twinned with France, and instead you decide to call it Beaver. It makes no sense. Anyway.
That's amazing.
Anyway. So Zapier and Zaps, right. I digress.
I guess something I'd like to touch on to start with is sort of like why automate. I see a lot of resistance to automation, mostly because people think that it takes so much time to learn, or they don't know what to automate. That's the biggest thing. Most people don't know where to start. So we can just dig into a bunch of examples later if you like.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because I've surveyed tons of people, and I think 80%, around about 80% of the responses were like, I don't know where to start, or I don't know what to automate. So yeah, that's a huge thing. But a lot of the resistance is that it takes time to learn and set up, and it can take, you know, several hours to, or even a couple of days to wrap your head around things. You know, and it might take 30 minutes for even me, like I've been doing this for a long time. It might take 30 minutes to set up something that only saves 5 minutes a week. But you know, after it's late, I don't know how to do math. 6 weeks? No.
6 weeks.
Yeah. so 6 weeks, that's, you're now time positive, right? And so, yep. And even though it's only 5 minutes, if you do one thing that saves 5 minutes, one thing that saves 10 minutes, you know, and these all add up, and suddenly you've got so much time back. And that's where I've found myself now, is that like, I have a lot more time than I did 2 years ago. This didn't happen immediately. But it's definitely been one of the most positive things in my business, that so much happens without me now. So I guess I like talking about that at the start, because getting time leverage is so important for business owners, and this is one of the best ways to do it, I think.
Cool. Yeah. And you know, time is one of the most valuable, it's essentially the most valuable currency or economy that we have, particularly as entrepreneurs. Oh, yeah. You know, so you're right, you know, 5 minutes a week, that's I can't do the maths now, you know, that's heading for a number of hours a year that you're spending doing, I don't know, reconciling paid invoices or whatever it might be.
Yeah,
and if you can just strip that out, so that maybe you only have to spend 5 minutes checking it once a month, then hey, you know you're onto a far better time positive mentality, as you just said. Yeah,
and I wish more people would value their time too. Like, we charge ourselves out at, you know, however much it is, $100 an hour or something. Let's just take that, because it's £100, sorry, for you, Pete. But then we'll balk at paying like $30 a month for something, or $50 a month. And I saw a comment thread on Facebook the other day about this, you know, talking about automation tools. And someone was like, oh, the free plan on, I prefer some other tool to Zapier because the free plan is quite limiting. And I'm like, I save like dead set 20 hours per week probably in Zapier, and it cost me $50 for the plan I'm on. And $50 a month to save, well, 20, let's say it's 20 hours a month even. Like, that, there's no circumstances where that's not a business decision that makes sense to me, to spend $50 to save 20 hours, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I just wish people would value their time. I bring that up because it's kind of a passionate topic for me, but because you kind of talked about it's the most valuable asset we have, and I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, perfect. So that's... I think you've made a great business case for why we should automate stuff which doesn't leverage around drinking beer. It makes me sound like an alcoholic, that shit, doesn't it?
I'm glad this is the first time it's ever been the person I'm talking to sounds more alcoholic than me, because I can guarantee you the actual case is probably the reverse.
Yeah, I wish I was sitting here with a beer at 9:16 in the morning, but instead it's just coffee after arguing with the kids to get them out of school. So, there we go. So we've that's why we should do it. We can save a whole bunch of time. We can actually, in theory, make a bunch more cash because we've got we've got more time that we are available to sell. Or you have a better quality of life and you spend more time with your kids, whatever it might be. You get that time back. So where do you start? You've mentioned that the two areas people struggle with is where to start and what to automate. So firstly, where do you start? And I guess you're going to get to what the second question is in a minute.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's good to start with a little brief overview of, like, a very basic overview of what an automation means, especially in Zapier itself. So you start off with a trigger, which could be anything, like something changes in one system or something gets added to one system. For example, like when a lead gets added to your CRM, so that could be through a lead form or something, we would call that a trigger. So it's kind of saying, like, when this happens, we're going to do something else. That's about as basic as it gets, right? So when a lead gets added to my CRM, add them to some spreadsheet that someone from sales can see. I don't know. That's a crap example because someone from sales is probably going to be in the CRM as well. But it's just like when one thing happens, do something else. And then we can add some conditions in the middle as well. So, like, we might... One of my favorite examples of this is a lead scoring algorithm that I use in my business, where every time someone signs up to our software, it looks up their company through their email address and says, if they have more than 20 staff, then put a to-do item in my Trello, my project management system, to reach out to them personally, right? That's so, cool. Yeah, and like, that's because a number of staff is a really good metric for us that they're probably going to be a good client. So I want to start talking to that person. And so that's a simple example of saying, like, when this happens, check for these conditions and then do this thing. And you can also do multiple things, right? So I could add them to a spreadsheet. I could put it in my project management system. I could send them an automatic email. I don't know. Like, you can just do multiple actions. So I think it's important to cover that as well. But when it comes to... What's that? Did you want to add?
No, I just said cool. No. You just go for it.
Cool,
you
man.
Go for it.
So when it comes to working out what to automate, the best place for, like, other than just listening to a bunch of examples to jog ideas, which hopefully we can get into soon, the main things I start with whenever I'm talking to clients is, there's a few categories, right? So... first one is double handling. So anytime that some information comes into your business and you have to put it in multiple places, whether that's like a CRM or if you are copying things between CRMs and spreadsheets and wherever else it's got to go, then that's double handling.
Yep.
Another example for that is kind of like social media. So, for example, you might like this, and I imagine you have some pretty awesome systems already, Pete, but for my podcast, I have a lot of automations set up that are handling the social media posting without me even doing anything, right? So a lot of the time, a social media post will be the description, like the initial description from my actual post, right? And I write my show notes so that the first paragraph or two are what's going to go on Facebook. And then I use Zapier to strip out those first two paragraphs and put that on Facebook automatically when the podcast gets released with some other text around it, right? So that's kind of double handling that I don't have to do anymore. Mm-hmm. Another one is anything that requires back and forth email. So this, I'd say that, like, this is number two category. The classic one here is booking, like booking meetings and appointments. I think by now most people are using some kind of automation tool like Calendly or whatever to book times. I think that's what you used, Pete.
It was indeed, yeah. Good old Calendly.
Oh, mate, it's a great tool. I've used other ones and I come back to it just because it's so simple for the people that are booking.
I used to use a system called Bookify.
Oh, yeah.
And I got it on an AppSumo deal. This isn't a recommendation of Bookify, by the way, because it then went and I... So when I'm recording podcasts, I often batch them together. So I'll, do maybe a week where I do like 9 or 10 podcasts in that week. And I got to the very first podcast on a week of podcasts
rearranged, cancelled. And it then went and cancelled all 9 or 10, or the other 8 or 9 that were booked in that week. And I had to then... So they then all got emails telling me that their appointments had been cancelled. So I then had to manually step in, and the emails that went backwards and forwards, and no, it really is happening. And here's the link details, because that was in the appointment that's now been cancelled out of your calendar, because Bookify's done it. So, I went and paid for Calendly in an instant. And for exactly that, you know, I mean, what, Calendly costs $9 a month or something? Yeah. But for that $9 a month, I can have confidence that I know it's going to work.
Man, it's like, I get such an awful feeling hearing that. It's like anti-automation. It's like something to make you do more work.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly it. That was exactly it. Beating bookings, automating that, yeah, absolutely.
And like, I used another tool as well, Book Like a Boss, which I got on AppSumo. So I've got a lifetime license, and I still went back to Calendly for various reasons, but it's just so simple. Keeping things simple for clients is good, and that's why I like it. So another example, and I mean, this is shameless plug, Content Snare. You know, classic agency problem of back and forward email to collect information and content and assets, digital assets from clients. You know, getting attachments and emails backwards and forwards, being like, you haven't sent me this yet. That's exactly what we built Content Snare for, is to handle that back and forward email without any email, essentially. So that's another one. So number one was double handling. Number two was back and forward email. Number three, I mean, this is very broad, but it's anything tedious. So social media is a great one of that, if you're posting in multiple places, but like anything you just hate doing, really. Like if you are typing the same email up a whole bunch of times, there's like text automation tools you can use to use like snippets. Text Expander is a great one. That's one of, I think Atext is another popular one on Mac, or Phrase Express on Windows. But just being able to use a quick shortcut on the keyboard to type out the same thing over and over is awesome. Like manually, I guess, following up with people. Like if someone doesn't respond to your email, and you've got to try and be like, hang on, when did I email this person last, and stay on top of it. There's tools like Follow Up Then. Hopefully I'm not just dropping way too many tools here for people to, but like Follow Up Then is amazing. It's really good at helping you stay on top of, following up with people, right? So, you know, I use this for everything, like partnerships as well. My computer just went to sleep on me for a second then, and I was like, please don't shut down. It's because I haven't moved the mouse in a while. What was I talking about? Follow Up Then. So, I use it for like creating partnerships and joint ventures, you know, like while I'm, because sometimes people just forget to respond to emails, and it helps me stay on top of them. So like that, I don't know, being good at following up is I think a great skill to have. And well, I mean, you can kind of outsource that skill to a tool like Follow Up Then. Yep. And number four is stuff you have to manually check. Like if you... This is a hard example to explain as well, but I'll do it with a couple of examples. So, for example, if I was going to create a new video about our new features we've released in Content Snare, which I used to do every time we have a big release, I could go in and look at the project management system and find everything that has happened. But now what I can do is basically monitor the project management system for everything that gets put into the done column, and roll that up into what's called a digest. So Zapier has this tool where it can roll up actions or triggers, into a digest, which is basically just a big list, big block of text that says this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And it rolls it up into a thing in my to-do list. And then I just run through all of those things in my video. It's very simple. So another example of this is, let's say, mentions of your brand on Twitter. So you could use Zapier's Twitter trigger to search for your brand name and or your personal name or any text, really, and then roll that up into a digest and then spit it into your to-do list every day. So it's like you've not had to go onto Twitter and search for something and then check it, right? So that's what I mean by things you have to manually check. I mean, another example is basically that lead scoring thing that I was talking about before. I don't have to go into my CRM and see if any big companies have signed up and then manually reach out to them. Instead, it's putting things directly into my to-do list for me to just do, right? I didn't have to log into a bunch of systems to check.
Yep. That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. As you've been mentioning those and going through some of your examples, so there's certain things you've mentioned that we already do as part of our agency, and mm-hmm. there's other things that just sound like they're so common sense, and I really wish I'd thought of them first. So, for example, one of the things we do when we're building websites for people, we have we put social media fields, just advanced custom fields in. Mm-hmm. It as part of the template in the, you know, as part of the build in WordPress. And then when the copywriters are writing new content, new blog content, whatever it is, they can simply write the tweets and the Facebook posts and whatever it might be whilst they're writing the content. So whilst it's fresh in their head, you know, they can, it's far quicker for them to do it mm-hmm. whilst they're writing the content than it is afterwards. So they then just simply go and put those in the right fields. When it's getting uploaded into WordPress, we just go and copy and paste them into the right fields. And then Zapier can go and, on the distribution protocol we've set up, you know, on launch, it will go and take the first tweet, the Facebook post, the LinkedIn post, and distribute them. And then 3 hours later, it'll go and get the second tweet. And then the following day, it'll go and get the third tweet. And then however many tweets, basically until it hits a blank field.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, yeah, so we can literally upload a piece of content onto a client's website and forget about distributing it because it just happens.
Yeah, awesome. That is,
you know.
Yeah, that stuff gets me excited. It's it's weird. I'm extremely weird.
But it's just about creating efficiency, and then you know what, we can then tick it off. We know that it's done. And the other thing that's great with a tool like Zapier is it then tells you if something doesn't work. So mm-hmm. you don't need to worry about these things not working, because if it doesn't work, it'll come and tell you. So you can have peace of mind on that side of things as well. And it just Absolutely. It just makes your process flow so much easier. I must admit, I've never heard of follow-up then. So, and I'm looking mm-hmm. at it now, and I'm going to check awesome. That one out for sure.
That's so. So that's one reason I like follow-up then above, because there's plenty of these tools, right, that do email, like bounce back emails into your inbox. The reason I like follow-up then is because it doesn't care what platform you're using. You just use the CC and the BCC fields. So it can mm-hmm. be from your phone or from Gmail or from whatever client. You just BCC something like 7 days at follow-up then, and it will bounce back to you then. And you can use response detection if you're paying the $5 a month for the paid plan, so that doesn't bounce back if they respond. But yeah, so you don't need like a plugin or another app to do anything.
And that's kind of the key to this, because ultimately if you're spending all this time setting up stuff, you don't want to make the actual task that you're doing any more difficult. You just want to, you know, you want stuff to happen behind the scenes, and that's the end of it. I suppose follow-up then's the trigger is basically a manual trigger, isn't it? You copy it into an email that you are sending, as opposed to an automatic trigger, which could be, I don't know, when a payment appears in your bank or
yeah, that's whatever. Right. And I mean, there's plenty of stuff that I trigger using manual things as well. So here's another tool for you. It's part of Zapier is Push by Zapier. And that mm-hmm. is a browser extension that sits at, well, obviously at the top of my browser. And I click it and it shows me all the different zaps I've set up with Push. And then I can click on them and put some information in a text box. And that gets sent off to Zapier with the current page URL that you can do all kinds of things with. So this is how I fill my social media feed, is when I'm reading a good post or someone shares something, I literally just click this button and type in, so one of them, two boxes appear, and I can type in some text about why I think this is a great article to read, and then another box, which is just hashtags for Twitter, and then that gets scheduled and goes out at the best time using Buffer. Zapier just pushes those into Buffer, and then it'll also push it into a feed that comes into my weekly newsletter. So I'm killing like two birds with one stone there, just by, you know, every time I read a good article. But that the reason I bring that up is it's like a manually triggered automation.
Absolutely. So I guess one of the right, so there's two things that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. The first is that I guess the hurdle that people have to overcome is that, you have mentioned a lot of tools, and you know, as you say, yeah, a lot of them do have free plans, but and that may be all that you need. But others, you know, nearly all of them also have paid plans. That's mm-hmm. why they're set up. They're businesses. They need to make money.
Yeah.
So Zapier's kind of on a bit of an uphill battle because that's adding, as you say, $50 a month to all of the other plans that you're then paying for. And then you think, well, hey, but you know, it would be great if we could do this, oh, but that's another $5 a month. And then it would be great if we could do that, that's another $9 a month. And all of a sudden this thing builds up. So I guess where I'm going with this question is that there's kind of a mental hurdle that you need to get over with this, in that if it's going to work for you, there's a bit of an investment up front. But if you can commit to the process in certain areas, then actually that's when the payback comes by. It's not something you can play with. That's kind of my point.
Like you got to really commit. Like that makes sense. And I mean, to a certain extent though, so Zapier has a free plan. You can't do multi-step zaps. It's very much limited to when this happens, do this. And I think some apps are limited too, but you can still do quite a bit on the free plan. And the first plan's only $20. So it's not huge. Follow up, then you can do pretty much everything for free. And I think Text Expand is like $60 a year. And Calendly's $9. So like right now we're talking a total of like, I don't know, $35 or something. So it's not a lot. And this is another thing I find funny, is some people will be very, very happily spend like $500 on a course just because it's one off, but shy away from spending, you know, let's say a total of $50 a month, right? That's like 10 months of stuff you could have been using, like building your automations with, and saving all this time versus a one-off course. Like I think there's kind of an aversion to subscriptions, which I totally get. I do it as well. But if you really put it in perspective of how much that is, like, and how much time you're getting back, provided, you know, you're actually getting back time, it's not just a tool that you signed up for and never use. It's in my mind, that's totally worth it.
I think, you know, another way of maybe looking at it is that people are very happy to spend somewhere around, well, they're normally £50 or £60 a month on the gym, and maybe go like three times a year. So all of a sudden you go for a £200 gym visit. all because you don't have enough time, open quote, close quote, to go to the gym. And actually for an extra $30 a month, you could very drastically reduce your cost per gym visit by by using some of that time and going and using your gym membership, for example.
Absolutely. That's a great analogy.
I suppose this next thing sort of sits a little bit between what we've just been talking about in terms of pure process automation and a little bit more to do with Content Snare, your product that you've mentioned, which is, I know that you set Content Snare up in order to essentially get content from clients, and that's kind of the way it's advertised. But actually, automation tools like that, if you're working in a bigger company, they can just be used as effectively internally as well as externally, can't they?
And we've actually had recently quite a few like larger organizations signing up rather than agencies, and I've reached out to them and asked, you know, why are you using Content Snare? And they feed it back as, you know, like they're building these internal websites with like 300 vendors that need to contribute like knowledge bases and that kind of stuff. And yeah, so I mean, anything that require, in this case, it's literally just back and forward emails of information that they're trying to eliminate.
Yeah, so it's just the mentality, isn't it? Anything that you have to do repeatedly that takes you time, you can take the stress out of it by figuring out where to automate your processes.
Yeah, and I mean, all of this, it really comes down to knowing what's possible as well. Like, you have to, this is going to take time to learn automation. Like, you can't just start playing with these tools one day and suddenly everything's automated. It's going to take time to set it all up, and over time you'll actually learn new stuff. Like I still, every so often I jump into Zapier and I'll be playing with creating a new automation, and I see like a new trigger or something, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was possible, and that just opens up all these other ideas, and now I can build this other automation. So over time it kind of, it builds on itself, and yeah,
I guess, you know, This is kind of becoming a bit of a geek out because whilst you've been talking, I've gone and opened up my Zapier account, and I've got a whole load of Zaps that are turned on at the top, and that's absolutely fine. And then there's a section for drafts, and it's like looking down a sort of toilet roll list of all of these things that I either started using or started playing with. And you're right. It's the sort of thing that you go off on a tangent. I'll make a note of it somewhere. Check out this. And you'll be sat in front of the TV one night with your laptop on your knee, and you'll start just seeing how this new thing works. And I hadn't realized how many of them I'd done.
Oh, yeah. I'm exactly the same. I have so many. And that's why I'm using folders, because by default, they're just in that home folder. And I try to leave, like, that is absolutely full of crap. And then, but when I actually start using something, I move it to a folder that's more of a permanent location. Yeah. If you want to have a geek out, click on your little notification or your face in the top right corner and tell me how many tasks have run this month.
Oh, well, considering, yeah, is that this calendar month? I've currently run 331
It'll
tasks.
Tell you down the bottom how your monthly usage resets in so many days.
Oh yeah, monthly usage resets in, well, it says 2 weeks actually. Yeah.
2 weeks, so you double that. So I'm just totally 600. Now, okay, I thought we'd be close, and this wouldn't sound like I'm just like trying to big note myself here, but my monthly usage resets in 5 days, so this is pretty much a month, and I'm at 8,500 tasks. So yeah,
yes, yes. Yeah. There you go. And that's why Jimmy's on the podcast talking to you about this, and I'm not, because I'm blatantly an amateur.
Yeah, you suck, Pete. Man, you've had some of the things you were mentioning before. Like, I'm like realizing I have to go away and do that, like the ACF fields, to have different content for Twitters and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that. Like, that's a great idea, and I need to get on that. So you're doing plenty of stuff right.
I think the other thing, so because I launched a course last month, and so I ended up, and this is the other thing that I like about Zapier, is that you can when I'm starting something like this, it was brand new thing, and I literally had a thing that's a Zap that's set up from a new order. It enrolled them on the course on Teachable. That was it. So it took the WooCommerce order and it enrolled the user, and Teachable then pinged them an email that said, look, come and set your password up, here you go.
Yep.
And that was the first Zap. And then what I could do was I could then link it into QuickBooks to either find or create a customer and then create the sales receipt. So then I don't have to go and do that. So the accountant's happy at the end of the year because they then get all of the all of the information is already in QuickBooks. It's already reconciled. Happy days. So, that was like, to begin with, I set that up as a separate Zap. It worked off the same trigger. But then what I did, once I got it working, I was happy with the output, I could then amalgamate that into one multi-step Zap. So that kind of, I suppose, that kind of reduced the number of tasks a little bit, because I have been, I'm guessing that tasks are the Zaps running themselves, aren't they? So...
Yeah, so you actually use, if you've got a five-step Zap, it'll use essentially five tasks, depending.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's one of the good things about this, is you can start to piece the jigsaw together in separate Zaps, and then when you're happy with it, hey, look, you can amalgamate it all into one. You've got an all singing, all dancing one. Lee Jackson once showed me one of his Zaps for Agency Transformation Live, and it had something like, I don't know, 15 tasks in it from start to finish.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, you've really spent some time.
I met a guy once who, like, they had a startup, and their MVP was dead set 100% built in Zapier. And they had like 50 step Zaps or something that was doing all this stuff, like SMSing people and like sending messages and then emailing. And like they basically had a productized service that they built in Zapier 100%.
So, like, that's brilliant. That's
it's
awesome.
Insane. I mean, I can't remember exactly what they did, but I'm like, man, that's like the best MVP ever, when you don't even have to write a line of code.
So yeah, so I've just found one of the post distribution Zaps here. So its trigger is a new WordPress post, and you hook it into WordPress, and it's obviously watching the RSS feed for the new post coming in. Not a problem. And then once it sees the new post, it creates a Facebook page post, pulling in from the custom field. It creates a LinkedIn post pulling in from a LinkedIn custom field, and it creates a Twitter a tweet from pulling in from the first tweet field. Perfect. And then it then has a delay, and there's basically it then alternates between tweet and delay, tweet and delay, tweet and delay for like the next 6 days. Mm-hmm. But each tweet is pulling out a different custom field, so we've awesome. We've got them all. And then of course, if it hits a blank custom field, it just stops the zap. That's
yep.
Perfect. That's where it goes. Yeah. And that's it. And then, but for every post, it's then got, well, including the pauses, it's got 12 actions. So, you know, there's 12 things that have just been automated just by hitting publish in WordPress.
Yep. Unreal. The one thing, I know we're probably running out of time here. So just a quick way to get started, if you don't mind, I'll just quickly cover.
Go for it. Go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So in Zapier, it's very simple. Just, I mean, go to their website and at the top, it depends if you're logged in or not, but there's a couple of tabs at the top. Right now, they're called Apps and Explore. It used to be called like Discover or something. So it's it might have changed by the time you hear this, but there's two different tabs and you can literally just look through the one at the apps one. You can just look through and find apps that you're using and scroll right down the bottom of the page, and there's a section called triggers and actions, and you can literally just read through all the different things you can fire off automations on for that app, and things you can like actions you can take in that app, like whether that's add someone's email or add a spreadsheet row in Google Sheets. So that's a good place to start. And Explore is really, really cool because you can type in the tools you're already using, say like two or three of them, and it'll give you a whole bunch of recipes in a way of all the different zaps people have created with those two or three tools in them, just to get some ideas going. That's a really great place for like if you're sort of new to this and you just want some ideas, those two places will get you thinking.
Cool. Now I'm just looking at that list and I noticed Bonjoro's on the list. What can you automate with Bonjoro? I'm starting to do it. I'm starting to play.
Man, like I'm surprised I've gotten this far in this chat and not talked about Bonjoro for days already. It's like when I go into examples, it's usually the first thing I go into because I love it. It's a perfect example of like personalized automation. So, for example, you know how I said before, when someone comes in and they're greater than 20 staff, remind me to follow up with them. I kind of lied. That doesn't actually come into my to-do list. That comes into my Bonjoro to send them a video.
Okay. So you can, right. Yeah. I'm just looking at the, I'm just looking at what you can.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, Bonjoro is a really awesome tool where basically it's an app on your phone and you can push, people into it. And so it might just be a name, email address, and a website. And you can click on them, click record, and record them a personal video that's like, hey, Bob, thanks for signing up, or, you know, thanks for whatever. Tell them a bunch of things, maybe mention their website, you know, really personalize it. And then you hit go, and it gets sent to them. And it's taken you 30 seconds to do that. And someone gets that video and they're like, oh my God, like they personally reached out to me. It's awesome. And I use it for everything from reaching out to those big clients to thanking people that sign up on a paid account to even people that churn, like cancel their subscription, to reach out and go like, hey, you know, that's a bummer. I know these things happen, but what could we have done better? And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to, literally what I'm going to do as soon as we hit stop recording. So I use Bonjoro for welcome videos for the course. Mm-hmm. And so I can now just hook that into my WooCommerce order so that their email address is already in Bonjoro. And I just hit send message and start talking. And that's it.
Oh. That's awesome. Wait, you that's not what you have set up already?
I haven't got that one set up. No, it's going in. I didn't even know Bonjoro was on Zapier. I hadn't even seen it. Oh,
that was like a prerequisite for me. I was like, I don't care about your silly CRM integration. I want to be able to push things in however I want with Zapier.
Yeah, no, that's brill. Right, that's going in. That's going to be done in the next 5 minutes.
Love it.
So, mate, thank you so much for your time and your insight. As you can tell, Jimmy's got so much knowledge in this area, and he doesn't get paid for any of it. It's brilliant. it's a hobby of a lifetime for him. You do have a blog, don't you? Let's mention that before we sort of hang it up.
Yeah, it's just at jimmyrose.me because I got sick of looking for a better brandable domain name. So check that out. And there's links on the left that go to my YouTube channel if you want to follow there. That's probably the main thing. A lot of this stuff is better visual. So I try to walk you through things on the YouTube channel. So yeah, check it out.
Cool. Yeah, go for it. Thank you so much for your time, mate. And it'd be great to have you on again another time. We can go through maybe some more examples. That'd be awesome.
Oh, I'd love that. Thanks, Pete. This has been Cheers, awesome.
Mate. See you, mate.
Jimmy is an absolutely top bloke. Thank you so much for your time and coming on the show. You're welcome back anytime. We had an absolute blast recording this episode. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/049. And come and join us in our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group or search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast. We have a great time sharing tips exactly as Jimmy has been doing today and working on our business and our marketing together. You'd be very, very welcome. See you next week.